Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local educator is working with the group Decoding Dyslexia to help make sure the dyslexic kids in our schools are identified and helped. And she needs our help getting some legislation passed. Let's go in depth with Elizabeth Hawksbergen with Apples of Gold Centers for Learning, Pella, Oskaloosa, Sully, and Newton. What's dyslexia?
Excellent question. Dyslexia is difficulty with language processing in certain regions of the brain, including the angular gyrus. It will affect things like learning to sound out words, learning sight words, fluency, spelling, written expression, and sometimes, but not always, it will impact the child's ability to memorize and retrieve math facts and to memorize the sequence of steps in an algorithm. So children who are older will often have trouble with remembering the steps in order of operations. Dyslexia is a neurobiologically based difficulty in language processing. It has nothing to do with the person's intellectual capacity. They can be a genius and be dyslexic. Likewise, they can have a lower cognitive capacity and also be dyslexic. Dyslexia varies from mild to mild, moderate to moderate, to severe to profound. In our years of working with children with dyslexia, I've seen very few children who are profoundly affected, but many children who are moderately to severely affected with dyslexia, which will impact on some level their language processing. But just as important as the difficulties with dyslexia are the strengths, what Dr. Sally Shaywitz identifies as the sea of strengths. Many dyslexics will be strong in things like mechanical reasoning, engineering, architectural reasoning, certain types of mathematical concepts, artistic skills, certain types of musical skills, people skills, intuition, thinking outside the box. In fact, NASA likes to hire engineers with this type of difficulty because they tend to be so excellent at innovative outside the box thinking.
Wow. I mean, that's very interesting. And you're dyslexic, right?
I am, yes. I remember crying when my dad picked me up in his arms as a first grader and saying, your teacher has spoken with us and she thinks maybe you need more time to learn to read. And I remember at that moment as a six-year-old crying and thinking these exact thoughts. Now everyone will think I'm dumb and I'm not. I did repeat first grade. And in my case, my parents were able to find some extra help. And then I was a firstborn, so very much an overachiever and worked very diligently. And overcame well enough, but even in college as an English major in my undergraduate work, I had great difficulty finishing my reading projects and even writing projects because I was much slower than the average person.
Much slower in terms of reading.
In terms of the rate of processing the material, right. Not intellectually, but with the actual rate of process because of the lack of letter-sound connectivity, automaticity that affects most dyslexics.
And do we know how to help people with dyslexia read and process more quickly?
Yes, it's actually very interesting. There is a plethora of research out there that supports unequivocally what works. And in the 1930s, Dr. Orton and Anna Gillingham, I won't go into all of that, but he was a doctor and she had her doctorate in, I think, something related to language or English. They developed the multisensory cumulative systematic intensive intervention method for teaching reading, which included teaching the six syllables of the English language, teaching appropriate both synthetic and analytic phonics from a very multi-sensory cumulative sense, as well as the morphology of language. Basically, it involved teaching people the architecture, the science, the structure of the language, because dyslexics have an excellent right hemisphere. In fact, their right hemisphere on average is larger than most non-dyslexics, but they tend to have trouble activating the left side in the process of reading. So the Orton-Gillingham-based systems cause the brain to activate the left side, along with a lot of other things. So since the 1930s, a number of companies and organizations have developed solid Orton-Gillingham-based programs that are extremely effective. And it's very important because one in five people have now been proven through brain scan imaging technology to be dyslexic. This is very clear. This is not an exaggeration. It's in many scientific studies. One in five people are dyslexic. Most people who have that brain structure, wherein the right hemisphere is as large as the left, and there's a lack of neural connectivity in the language processing areas of the brain, have no idea they're dyslexic. They just know that maybe they are slower at reading or they don't like reading, and yet they're very bright and very capable in many other ways.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Elizabeth Hawksbergen with Apples of Gold Centers for Learning.
It sounds like just people are different. We have people, we have different capabilities, different abilities, different strengths and weaknesses. But it sounds like maybe the focus on reading in our schools maybe isn't in the, I don't know how to say this, but maybe isn't in the best interest of the of how some kids learn, a fifth of our kids learn. Is that right? Am I saying that right? The focus on reading, and if you don't...
Mm-hmm. There's some truth to that. And I agree with what you said with difference, because, in fact, I hate to even use the word disability with dyslexia, even though technically it is classified as such, because it affects such a large percentage of the population. I really view it as a structural brain difference, which will affect both weaknesses and strengths. When it comes to our schools, and I've had the wonderful opportunity and privilege to work with administrators, AEA consultants, teachers over the last 12 years in my other field, and we have a lot of great research-based programs already out there for reading. So we have great programs. We're only allowed to use research-based programs in our schools, but there's a difference between a research-based program for someone who is not dyslexic or is who is only mildly dyslexic versus someone who is moderately to severely dyslexic, because those individuals will have poorer neurologic connectivity in the language processing areas. And if they do not get basically intensive Orton-Gillingham-based instruction in one of the programs that have been scientifically proven to work, their progress will often be slow, and frustrations, academic and psychological, social frustrations, quite typically will continue to mount as they get further along in school. The more severely dyslexic a person is, the more potential fallout there is. With the students. So even though our schools are doing many, many wonderful things, and I say that in all sincerity, when it comes to this type of brain structure, we're not quite hitting the mark right now. And if we'll bring in what the science says and do intensive Orton-Gillingham-based instruction with these children, we will hit the mark. But first, we have to adjust something in the state of Iowa, and that is we have to be allowed to say the word dyslexia in our schools. We need to be able to screen for that appropriately so that the teachers and the education AEA consultants are allowed to really get galvanized and put the right kind of intervention in place for these students.
We can't say dyslexia in school?
We are not allowed to label children with our current special education setup. We are very careful about that, and it's because we're trying to be sensitive to their psychological needs and that sort of thing, and not put them in a box where other people might perceive them in a negative light. And I'm sure there's a whole assortment of other concerns too, but because the science is overwhelming and it's so many people, it's not about labeling. It's about understanding the science of that person's cognitive makeup, neurologic makeup, I should say. If you can take what the science says about their brain and then plug them into the right type of instruction, that person will flourish. What's incredible about the dyslexic population, they've done numerous studies, and they found in these studies, yes, it's true that a disproportionately high percentage of people in jails have some type of disability, many of whom have dyslexia, but they've also studied the best of the best in the fields of medicine, education, business, entrepreneurship, and they found the disproportionately high percentage of those individuals are also dyslexic. When a dyslexic can overcome, they often can do great things because they do have strengths just like non-dyslexics do. I'm not trying to say dyslexics are better. They're just different, and they need appropriate programming early on. But to do that, we need to be able to screen them early enough to identify it.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Elizabeth Hawksbergen with Apples of Gold Centers for Learning.
Well, I'm guessing, and you suggested before we got started, that if you don't screen early, a small problem or not being able to address it in the early grades, it becomes worse and worse and worse as you
Absolutely.
Progress, and then
Absolutely.
Here's
everything a typical,
falls apart.
I agree completely. A typical scenario would be if a child is severely dyslexic, very often by first grade, they're going to be identified as being in need of special education because they're having so much trouble with both aspects of math and language arts. When a child is more like a moderate dyslexic or a mild moderate, or they're severe but they're extremely bright and they have highly supportive parents and an excellent school district, that student may not be identified as needing special education because they're not discrepant enough until third or fourth or even fifth grade. In the meantime, when we analyze the reading data, they are falling further behind. And the gap between their cognitive ability, their intellectual capacity, and their reading achievement continues to widen. And that's exactly what we want to avoid, and we can avoid.
When you're working with a group to bring a bill in front of the Iowa legislature to help deal with these issues in our schools, right?
Yes, there's a group called, a non-for-profit group called Decoding Dyslexia Iowa, and in the last 24 months, 45 states of the 50 have formed a group to bring this to the attention of their state legislator groups. And what's happened is now, of the 50 states, 20 states either have legislation in place or they have a handbook written. In fact, the first state to really do much of anything about dyslexia was the state of Texas. 7 of the 20 states who are doing something about dyslexia at the public school level have fully written handbooks to guide the process for educators to know how to screen and intervene effectively to help these students be successful. So the group Decoding Dyslexia it's really a grassroots movement, and they are on Facebook, Decoding Dyslexia Iowa, and they have done a lot of work to bring the need for this to the attention of our Iowa legislators. They've brought to their attention numerous letters as well as legislation from other states, etc. So now we have a bill that's being brought to the floor.
Okay, and you've got it here. You've handed it to me. It's Senate File 2070. It's been introduced, Senate File 2070. And the explanation is, I mean, there's a whole lot of language here, but the explanation is just, I mean, it basically asks for the State Board of Education to incorporate the definition of dyslexia adopted by the International Dyslexia Association, and then to screen kids.
Yes, right? And schools will actually, public schools will be required, whereas if this passes, and then private schools will be encouraged to screen children between kindergarten and second grade if they evidence at least one of the typical indicators of dyslexia. And then guidance will be provided by the education groups to the schools on what screening tools are appropriate for that process, both for the K-2 population as well as the third grade and above population. But schools will actually be required, if this should pass in the way that it's written now, to screen children no later than the midpoint of second grade. And that is to prevent long-term frustration and academic failure. And it will save the Department of Education and the state of Iowa a lot of money. And I would conjecture to say it will also prevent a lot of dropouts, not to mention increase our overall state scores in reading.
Well, and then deal with other kinds of issues that come with not being effective in school and dropping out and, you know, and not leading a successful life, perhaps even.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's ties to crime and all kinds of things that come from lack of success in school.
It's very frustrating to be an individual who's intelligent, and yet when you fill out a job application, just the way you fill in the information speaks poorly of your capacity. And that would be people with dyslexia, a more severe case of dyslexia, where they're having trouble with written expression, spelling. They don't even have the confidence often to pursue college because they feel like they can't handle the reading or writing load. Another thing I remember as a teacher, before I knew about dyslexia, is parents coming to me very frustrated about their child struggling. Not necessarily frustrated with me or the school, but frustrated with what do I do to help my child. And this movement will be a wonderful fuelant and assistance to schools and teachers to give them the information they need to properly help students. Because included in this bill is full teacher training included at the university level, so that included in our current special education training and even general education reading training will be coverage of what dyslexia is, along with any other reading disabilities that need to be covered from a scientific foundation as well as an instructional need basis.
And I presume once we identify this early, we can help the kids with the reading.
This is incredible. The doctors, some of the neurologists that have worked on this project for the last 15 years have literally taken young people who they've already scanned their brains, because dyslexics, a different area of their brain lights up when they decode or read than a non-dyslexic. But they've taken people who they know to be dyslexic. They've scanned their brains before effective Orton-Gillingham-based multisensory cumulative systematic instruction and after a good dose of that type of intervention. And it's absolutely fascinating to see the science. Children who are younger, 9, 10 so years of age, the brain literally will rewire itself in the correct regions. Thus, just like we've heard in all different realms of education, early intervention really saves time, it saves money, it minimizes hassle and psychological frustration. There's no question about that. And now we have the neurologic scientific evidence to prove it. The brain will rewire itself. Older students can also overcome dyslexia, but the brain is a little less efficient, but they still can overcome and be very successful as well.
Elizabeth, your passion is wonderful. Now, what do you need people to do?
That's a great question. We would love for you to contact, if this is something that's close to your heart, if perhaps someone in your own home has a history of struggle with reading, spelling, written expression. And by the way, of the dyslexic population, 40% of them have some type of an attentional deficit. This is scientifically proven as well. If you have any concern in this realm or feel like this is something that would be cause-worthy, contact your state legislators, the ones from your region, and let them know that this is a bill that you're very interested in and you would like to see it passed. You can also go to Facebook and choose like Decoding Dyslexia Iowa, and there's more information there where you can learn a little bit more about the process, et cetera. But time is of essence. This is all unfolding in the next week or two. This is happening very, very quickly, but we have a number of state legislators who are looking at it very seriously and very concerned, too, because everyone, all of the educators and legislators want to help our children be as successful as possible in the great state of Iowa, where we know we have great things going already, and we're just going to add to that.
Thanks to Elizabeth Hoxbergen for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.